When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Pure Evil MMA. I have one of my favorite fighters going back to when I was in school watching him in the senior lounge. And we got Rob Emerson here back on Pure Evil MMA to discuss some real life, some real life shit without making anyone angry that's listening to this in their car right now or at the gym. I don't like to swear, but this is why I love having Rob on. What's going on, Rob? How you doing?
What's up, guys? I think you said it best when you said real life stuff, because this is real life stuff. And for anyone to get angry or to take any of this stuff personal, then it is just, to be honest, it's just a reflection of their ignorance. And when we start looking and talking about human potential and real genetic human potential, we're talking about, like, Marvel comic book superhuman shit. And I promise you, I'm not exaggerating any of this. Every single human that listens to this right now, just know that you are superhuman. Every single person, from a kid born in the gutter in a third world country to the son of a king and queen, a prince of a country, those two humans have the genetic same potential as each other. We all have these genetic gifts locked inside of us. It's just a matter of unlocking this or not. You know what I mean?
When did all this kind of start clicking for you? Was it like a moment? Well, you know what? Before we talk about that, I'm glad that you brought up the whole, I'm guessing, you know, when you talk about Ian, his ventures right now with CBD and all that has been a big thing for fighters. And I just had Elias Theodoro on, who is now the first fighter to be able to have marijuana, THC, in his system for medical uses. And he was telling me, you know, USADA was out there having a fight against opiates, but yet they're telling you to take opiates. And that's so poisonous. So I like when you said that, you know, these elements that are out there, which are in THC, you know, they say it's kind of like a third tier psychedelic in a way, but even that opens your mind. But that's not the issue. It helps these fighters heal a lot better than they would be able to on opiates, which causes a lot of issues, not just for the fighters, but for the families. It's a dark, scary road. And
yeah, the fact that anyone would prescribe opiates in the first place, you have to understand that there's an ulterior motive going on there. The reason why these physicians are even prescribing people these chemicals,
you mean money,
literally destroying the human body on a cellular level, the only reason why they're even prescribing it is because they're getting a check at the end of the day. They're getting a monthly check regardless of, you know what I'm saying, depending on how many scripts they write. So you're absolutely right. Herbs used to be the medicine of our people back in the day. We didn't shove chemical pills down our throat to fix our problems. God didn't make a hiccup when he created us, right? This universe, the human being, we're divine superhumans. And this earth, this planet, people don't even know what this planet is and what's beneath our feet. But we have to understand this planet provides everything we need to in order to thrive as these perfect divine beings here. In nature, where there's a poisonous plant that grows, this is where the Indians used to have dogs with them, and the dogs got the name by the name the man's best friend, because whenever they would eat something, they would give it to the dog first. And the dog got sick, and if the barrier of the plant was poisonous, the dog would go find an antidote plant within 25 feet.
Oh, wow.
In nature, wherever there's a poisonous plant, or within 25 feet is the antidote plant.
Wow.
Now, that's pretty incredible, right? That's pretty fascinating. Now, is that by chance? Is that just a coincidence? Or is that by some kind of divine Like
even
water,
CBD, inside. Rob, inside, it's so crazy because there's no other plant that I know of that, you know, CBD counteracts. Like if you're too high and you take CBD, it helps calm you down. It counteracts the mental stimulant that you're having. And you don't see that in a lot of plants where it's doing one thing, but also in the same plant, it's helping lower that feeling. And it's still helping you physically.
Yeah. Plants is, they have been our food source and our medicine source for thousands and thousands of years. All the original doctors, all the founding forefathers of modern day medicine were all originally alchemists. And these alchemists all use herbs, right? So they've been used by our people for thousands and thousands of years until this big pharma came around, right? This big monopolized industry. It's like a, there's like 15 different monopolies that govern the world we run, right? It's medicine, it's food and drug administration, it's communication, it's travel, it's these big entities that kind of operate. But before we had all this noise and all this shit, it was the earth, man. We were simple. There's one species, right? There's one race. It's the human race. And we are citizens of this planet. We're not like citizens of different countries. That shit all causes division. There's one species. It's the human species. There's one race. It's the human race. And we are citizens of this planet.
That's another reason.
Everything we need to thrive as to be perfect specimens. And you start throwing chemicals and all this other synthetic shit in the mix. I can't even believe that that athletic governing body would even prescribe this to the athletes.
It doesn't make sense, right? It's almost like you're in the twilight zone when you see somebody like Nick Diaz get a 5-year suspension originally reduced to 2 years just for having marijuana in the system, but yet you can go out and drink after, which is doing way more damage to you. Why? It doesn't make sense. And
yeah, well, I think what they're saying, I think what the athletic commission is with the whole THC ban is they're saying that it's a pain. It helps numb the pain, helps with the pain. And they're saying, well, if you need something to help numb the pain, then you shouldn't be in this sport. You know what I mean? They're saying, so that's how fighters are getting the edge. It's affecting their. So I don't know. I'm not really sure on.
Well, when did all this click for you, Rob? Because like I was saying during the intro, you're a way different person now than you were on that season of Ultimate Fighter with BJ. When did it all click? What was the eye-opening moment?
Actually, it's really interesting you just brought that up. That's actually going to be a perfect... it has to do with BJ. It had to do with something that took place a year ago, last April, for his last fight and for his camp. Something pretty profound happened to me out there at his house. And Los Angeles was out there and with us, and something pretty gnarly happened to me. I actually have a video of it, and it's crazy, man. I guess I'll just speak freely, and we'll see if people can even digest and comprehend this. But something gnarly happened to me, and these guys were gonna go see this band called The Green down there in Hilo, and something told me to go back to BJ's house and like meditate. So I went back up to his house with the coach Jason Perlo, and we're all
hanging
out.
Hey, shout out Jason.
I went back. Yeah, we were all hanging out, and it was me, my friend Pedro, and then BJ and Jason and Diego Sanchez. And I went back there up to the house, and I was meditating, and I was in the backyard meditating. I thought I was back there meditating for like 15, 20 minutes. These guys came out there and said I was out there for like hours, right? They all came home from the concert, and I was still in the back meditating. So I don't know. Dead sober, dude. Stone-ass sober. Crazy experience. These guys all come back. We're all hanging out in the back in the patio. These guys lie to join. They're hanging out. They're like, hey, Robert, you want to hit this? I'm like, no, I'm good. Which is out of my character. Normally, I would have hit it. But when I was meditating, this feeling I got, this presence I got, of peace and love. That's the only vocabulary words that allow me to do it justice. But there was some kind of presence that I felt throughout this meditation. And I've never felt anything like this in my life. But this presence that I felt started growing and started getting stronger and started becoming more present. And you got to understand that vocabulary limits these kind of concepts, and vocabulary kind of puts constrictions on how we could talk about these kinds of mind-blowing, cosmic, out of the world experiences.
Yeah, it's hard to paint the picture.
Psychedelic experiences. Psychedelic almost is the only word that we have that even does it justice. So, but again, I was stone cold sober. And these guys are telling me, you're not going to hit me, no, I'm good. And this feeling started getting so strong, so heavy, that I got up and had to walk around. I tried to shake it off. I'm like, why do I feel like this? I'm like, I feel good. I don't feel threatened. I feel completely content. And even the other guys there said, hey, Robert, how do you feel right now? You look like super mellow. I'm like, and honestly, I'm like, I've never felt this content in my life. I feel super at peace. I feel super present. And this feeling started getting stronger and stronger and heavier and heavier. And as these guys are all talking, and this feeling got so heavy that it forced me down to a knee. I had to get a walk over to BJ's jacuzzi, and I got down to my left knee, and I'm taking a knee like I'm kneeling. And I'm sitting there, and these guys kind of stop talking. They look over to me, they're like, you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. In my head, I'm like, dude, what the fuck is going on? I'm like, what is this that I feel? I'm like, dude, shake it off. You're being embarrassing right now. Like, you're a man, dude. Wake up, stand up right now, and shake this fucking off. Like, what are you doing? And so I try to stand up and shake off this feeling of this presence or whatever I felt that it was. And when I try to stand up, this feeling or this presence was like, oh no, and then forced me down on my ass. And I had to learn around and sit down on my butt and begin to embrace whatever it was that was about to happen. And I sat down on my butt and I put my forearms on my knees and I put my head back and I laid against the big BJ jacuzzi and I look up to the sky. And I said, I don't know what's about to happen right now, but whatever it is, I allow it to happen right now. And as soon as I gave that up, dude, I was out. I was fucking out like a light switch. Now, what I experienced and what I saw, I'll explain to you in a second. But what my physical body did tripped these guys the fuck out. The second I said, I allow this to happen right now, my body was out. These guys said that my arms were like in a locked position in front of my chest and that my eyes rolled back in my head. Okay, when your eyes roll back in the head, it's looking up at your pineal gland, aka third eye. I don't have seizures in my family. We don't have seizures. It's not like a hereditary thing. Most sicknesses and diseases aren't even hereditary.
Rob, let me stop you. Explain what the third eye is for the listeners out there. I know what it is, but there's a lot of people out there that don't understand what the third eye is.
Well, the third eye is kind of like a new age way of explaining a physical gland that's in your brain called the pineal gland. Like the pineal gland. This gland looks a lot like an eye. It has a receptor, has a bunch of different working parts that your normal eyes have. This gland, if the human body is like a computer, the pineal gland is literally like the circuit board switch. It's the most important part of the body. There's a correlation between the pine, like a pine cone, and the pineal gland.
Oh,
whenever
wow.
You see the pine cone throughout ancient Greece or ancient Egypt, this represents the pineal gland. So why is there a pine, at the main altar in the church of the most sacred, quote-unquote, Catholic church? You know what I'm saying? This is the kind of stuff they're not telling us in schools. They're not teaching us. And this is the only stuff that we should be discussing in the schools and in the churches and stuff like that. So there's little crystals inside your pineal. This stuff gets fascinating.
Is that where DMT is stored? Because we all have DMT. It's released when we pass away.
There's DMT crystals inside the skin that encases your pineal gland. And when you take these crystals and dry them out and smash them with a hammer, beautiful, brilliant rainbow lights are bursting forth from these crystals. It's brilliant. But what the pineal gland allows us to access as human beings, this is what makes it so crucial. This is what makes it so important part of the human body. And there's a reason why they call it your third eye, because you see things that you can't see with your other eyes. And these things you see are higher frequencies. This entire reality, this entire universe is one of frequencies and vibration. So your pineal gland, aka your third eye, allows us human beings to tap into these higher frequencies. AKA these higher vibrations, AKA these higher realms and planes.
Dimensions, yeah.
So I freaking, my body goes into trance, right? My body wasn't seizuring, that's the thing, it wasn't seizuring. There was no foam coming out of my mouth, my body wasn't vibrating or convulsing, my body was in a trance. Like, my eyes rolled back and my head and my hands are stiff. These guys are freaking out, and then my body immediately was drenched in sweat. So I was completely dried, and within seconds, it was as if I jumped in a pool and jumped out. I had black sweatpants on. You could have rained my sweatpants out. I can't make that up. I can't fake my body. I can't squeeze my fist and close my eyes super hard and be like, okay, make my body sweat right now. I can't do that. I'm just saying, it's physically impossible. My body broke out into immediate sweat. I was gone. My eyes rolled back in my head, and these guys were freaking the fuck out. They were freaking out. They were like, Robert, wake up, wake up. Oh, my God. Do we call 911? Do we call 911? I could hear them from where I was and what I experienced. But where I was not here. As soon as I looked up to the stars and I felt that presence that sat me down and I said, I allow this to happen right now, I was gone. My consciousness, my awareness was taken somewhere very, very, very far away, somewhere outside this galaxy. And I can say that with complete confidence. And regardless of how profound what I visually saw was what I physically felt. And what I physically felt was a sense of peace and a sense of love, unlike anything I've ever experienced here in this life before. And the last thing I wanted to do was to come back here. The last thing I want to do is to be separated from that. There's no English vocabulary words that will do justice to describe what I experienced out there that night in BJ's backyard. If I were to take all the adjectives, every single language, and put them together in one word, it wouldn't even do it justice. But if I can give you one word right now to sum up what I experienced and what I saw while my body was in this trance-like state, that word would be home. H-O-M-E. Home. Now, with that being said, this next thing I'm going to say might throw a lot of listeners off. But you have to understand that when you start studying alchemy and hermetics and the reality of this quote, simulation, quote, source field, quote, quantum field, is that the name of the game is incarnation. Okay? It really is reincarnation. And that word scares a lot of people away because it completely pulls the rug out from underneath them if they've been raised on the whole Adam and Eve, when you're dust to dust, you go to the pearly gates of heaven or the burning gates of hell, end of story.
Yeah.
So what I experienced out there in BJ's house was I experienced and I went where we go in between incarnations. As crazy as that sounds, as crazy as that fucking sounds, and I know how crazy it sounds, but I know in my bone marrow that's what I experienced. And from what I'm studying and hearing about, I've never tried ayahuasca or anything like that, but from what I'm hearing about these people who have experienced with these plant medicines, they visually experience the same thing that I did, that I seem to have activated with a meditation.
Naturally.
Fascinating. It was hands down the most mind-blowing, crazy, life-changing, reality-shifting experience of my life.
Even when Joe talks about it, he says, you know, when people do DMT, there's an entity or something that says this to everybody that takes it. I've never done DMT before. A lot of my friends have, and the things I've heard are just wild. But there's something that talks to you as soon as you do it, and it says welcome or something like that. Joe Rogan talks about it all the time, and it's
I'm not sure. People when they talk about these plant medicines, they call it Mother Ayahuasca. They call it Mother because it has a spirit. When you start studying alchemy and plants and all this, you have to understand that all plants have three parts to them, just like the human being has three parts. There's the mind, there's the body, and there's the spirit of the plants, of all plants. The entire plant kingdom has its own, like, spirit or soul. And so all plants have these three working parts, just like the Trinity concept. It's the same exact concept. And so when these people experience with these plant medicines, they are experiencing the spirit of that plant. And that is what they are connecting with. They're taking the plant on a physical level, and they're connecting with the spiritual part of the plant. Now, for people to think that these plants are, oh, what is that? That just may be some, like, weird chemical or some weird food poisoning. Like, no. You have to first understand what this planet is and what is beneath our feet. And you have to understand that these plant medicines, even mushrooms themselves, they are like one giant living organism. And they've been around a lot longer than us. And that, oh, that's crazy, dude.
Well, remember when, before we started even doing this interview, me and you were talking about, you know, pain and depression, and I was bringing up Tool, which is one of my favorite bands, which is really deep. A lot of their songs are not just songs. They're studies and their experiences that Maynard has gone through, the band has gone through. Even the guitarist, when he writes, every chord, every note represents a color within the color wheel. Like, there's one song that talks about exactly what you're discussing with plants and you know, pain being illusion, and that's actually one of the lyrics in the song is all this pain is an illusion. And it's just so weird how people go their whole lives without experiencing something like that. We get brainwashed along the way. When you were saying that there's people that refuse to believe that because they're brought up with, you know, mom and dad telling them this, and that goes against what they believe in. It's special, and I want to know, how did you meditate? Like, what did you do to meditate to reach that plane? Like, how do you prepare yourself to reach something like that?
I'm just learning about it now. I don't know what I activated that night. I don't know how it happened. I can't explain it yet, but I'm learning about this thing right now called the Merkaba meditation. And I was actually out there at BJ's house that night, this chapter in this book I was reading. That is this knowledge from Thoth and Hermes, this entity. He's the architect of the pyramids. And when you study this kind of knowledge, he talks about all this stuff for our species. And it's fascinating stuff. It wasn't until I came out here to Arizona and I joined the guys in the lab and a few guys on my team, we would go on these hikes on Sundays to recover. We would do microdosing and sometimes macrodosing of these psilocybin.
Which mushrooms. Is from the mushrooms, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
which even heals depression, they found out recently.
Say it again?
That recently they discovered that it actually helps with depression and schizophrenia.
Not only that, but these mushrooms, not only are they healing to the human consciousness, but what they're physically doing on a physical level, these mushrooms are repairing and regrowing damaged brain tissue. Scientifically, impossible stuff. They had no explanation about gray matter in the brain. They would write this part off. Mushrooms are reactivating the brain tissue. This is fascinating stuff.
Especially as a fighter for you guys.
Successful, psilocybin trip, it can have the same benefit as, like, 20 to 30 years of, like, psychotherapy for someone. If someone went through, like, a traumatic event or something happened in their life. You know what I mean? These plant medicines offer human beings a different perception.
The first time that I tripped, I kind of...
With perception comes great power. It comes great power. The power lies in perception.
It's almost like, you know, you can go your whole life to learn A, B, and C, but when you experience something like that, it's almost like driving up the mountain instead of hiking up it. You discover so many things. You discover so much about yourself. And for a lot of people out there, they go to psychiatrists. It's really hard for a lot of people to talk to another person, especially somebody that doesn't really know you. So, you know, going out and being one with yourself.
I've been obsessed with psychology my entire life. I saw a psychologist from the time I was 5 to 18 years old. I had Tourette's syndrome as a young kid. I was diagnosed with Tourette's syndrome, ADD, and OCD, and ADHD. And they had me on all kinds of medication and pills under the sun. And I've been fascinated with psychology ever since my freshman year, because my freshman high school teacher, Mr. Gunnarsson, spoke something to me that day in Psych 101 that changed my life forever. He didn't use the word meditation. That if you put your most mental disorder, like a rope, it's like a to the dock, and picture that rope with a knot in the middle. You can mentally just call in your thoughts to mentally untie that knot, and that the mental disorder is representative of that rope, and you can untie that rope and never return. So as a listening to my teacher talk about this, I hated my life back then. I hated going to school. I hated this kid that spit and twitched and cussed, and I was like a little
yourself.
Disabled. It was for sure disability. As far as handicap, it was a disability. Tourette's syndrome is a neurological disorder. Right? It's a neurological disorder. It's a chemical imbalance in the brain. And I had to live this my entire life. And I was on every medication. Used to come spit in my face. You know, I hate it. I would get jumped leaving school. Kids would take my backpack and throw it over the neighbor's yard out the green. You know what I'm saying? It was a pretty, it wasn't a very fun experience me growing up through the school system, especially through grade school and stuff like that. But that freshman year, that day, I said, you know what? There has to be some truth to this teacher sitting up here talking about these mental conditions if he's a teacher and he's telling us. So I got to give this a try. I'm sick of living like this. I'm sick of taking all these medications. So walking home from school that day, I walked in the front door. I threw my book back down, and I said, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. And I lay down on the couch, and I closed my eyes, and I focused, and I did exactly what he said, and I pictured this big rope tied in my head with a big knot, and that rope was representative of my disorder. It was representative of Tourette syndrome. And I mentally untied that rope. I used my two arms, and I mentally pulled that rope, and I flattened out. I kept pulling and pulling and pulling until the knot was loose, and that big rope was just staying there. But then I didn't stop there. I mentally visualized pouring gasoline on that rope, and then I visualized sending it to flame, and the rope burned up in smoke and turned to ashes. And then I mentally visualized myself walking through that rope and kicking the ash with my foot and just dispersing it across the ground. This whole process maybe took about 15, 20 minutes. But Eddie, when I opened my eyes from that experience, from that, quote, meditation, end quote, when I opened my eyes, I waited about 30 seconds, and there was no twitch or no tick. Another minute went by, no twitch, no tick. Another minute went by, no twitch, no tick. And mind you, Tourette syndrome, like, every minute, every couple of minutes, you see, like, a huge outburst. If you try to hold it in and control your ticks, it's a neurological disorder. It'll affect your musculatory system.
It's like a sneeze, right?
You'll start spasming. Dude, my Tourette's went away like a light switch.
How weird is that? People don't even realize how powerful the mind is. You were saying that you took all these medicines, but yet something like that, just becoming centered, was more powerful.
That's scientifically impossible, right? So Tourette syndrome is a neurological disorder. That is an impossibility that I cured myself of a neurological disorder through a meditation. My parents, I was on every medication. There's records of this. I'm not making any of this up. I stopped my medication immediately that day. My Tourette syndrome, my OCD, my AIDS went away like a light switch. Just by hearing my freshman psychology teacher speak this to me. I immediately became obsessed and fascinated with psychology after that. I became Mr. Gunderson's student aide the next year, and he changed my entire life. And I've been fascinated with psychology ever since. And now as a coach, as a MMA coach, I get to implement the psychology of this stuff into being an athlete. And now I'm studying alchemy and hermetics, and I'm just now learning that the root of psychology came from all this stuff. The root of psychology lies in alchemy.
It's weird that you say that too, because my little cousin has Tourette syndrome. He has Asperger's, and his little brother has Tourette syndrome. And he couldn't even like form sentences. Like you would try to talk to him, like, "Hey, Mikey, how's your day?" And it'd be a one word answer. He wouldn't be able to make eye contact with you. But then we started introducing him to the guitar. And when I tell you that I've had so many experiences with him, with just sitting down with a guitar, that it's unreal what he's been able to do, and just be able to calm himself with that. And it's just crazy, because it's a natural thing. And when we were growing up, when you were growing up, it was so easy for teachers to be like, "Oh, we can't pay attention, so, you know, let's give him X, Y, and Z medicines." They immediately doing that instead of, you know, actually talking to you or wondering what's going behind doors at home. They immediately jump to, "Oh, this kid can't pay attention to class. He's got ADD. It's scary, man.
Let's give him these chemicals to shove down his throat and make him a fucking
zombie.
Storm, you know what I'm saying? A docile fucking robot. That's exactly what happened to me. Exactly. We have the same learning system we've had for fucking 150 years. Ridiculous. People don't learn that way. You know what I mean? The school system is not designed to cater to all the individuals. It's designed to cater to itself, plain and simple. And it's fascinating to hear that, because what you guys connected with that guitar and what this music is vibration. Now, we are beings of vibration. You know what I'm saying? This entire reality, these particles that we see before us in this three-dimensional reality, they are all vibrating. We're existing through vibration. Water molecules vibrate at a certain rate. The shirt you're wearing right now, the particles that make up that t-shirt are vibrating at a certain rate. You know what I'm saying? The shoes on your feet, the food you're eating, the water you're drinking, the air you're breathing, the hydrogen molecules that are in the oxygen that you're breathing are vibrating at a certain rate. This
Rob,
entire third-dimensional reality is one of vibration.
Let me
and
say this.
Human beings can connect with music. That is what's so profoundly beautiful about music. You can get a brand new little baby who doesn't even know what the fuck music is, and they will get up and they'll start they'll jiggle their little baby cheeks and start dancing because music vibes with us.
Even with plants, they say when a mother is pregnant, they say put classical music on around your plants, and your plants will even respond to it.
Absolutely.
But I wanted to say this. It's really important when people are talking about this subject. There's a lot of people out there that are immediately turned off to it. They don't understand it. They look at people and go, this is crazy. What are you talking about? What do you say to somebody like that? Like, how do you deal with that?
Honestly, that's why I'm learning about the whole scientific part of it. People that I can't speak alchemy and hermetics and all this ancient wisdom with, well, I can speak science to them, and I can speak quantum physics, and I can speak cellular biology, and I can speak epigenetics. Anyone that's listening right now, I highly, highly, highly suggest you go on YouTube and listen to Dr. Joe Dispenza or Bruce Lipton. These are the leading doctors in this scientific field, and they're studying the minds and the cells, and it's incredible. I mean, even Newton's atom, right? It doesn't even look like that. They just found that atoms don't even look like that anymore. These atoms, they look like vibration. They look like sound. It's absolutely fascinating. The science books that you and I were raised on, that our parents were raised on, these books are getting rewritten.
Which is a good thing, because for many years, there's a lot of things in, you know, history classes, science classes, that they literally changed to make you think one way. When you get older, you find out that didn't happen.
Don't get me started on this. Don't get me started. You know the picture? I'm just going to be screaming right here because I have this platform. This might trip a lot of people out, but everyone listening right now, I'm a father, and I have children. I love my children. I would never say this, but I bet my bloodline, everything I say here and now is absolute truth. And this next part that I'm about to speak is very crazy concept. It might be kind of knowledge for people to accept and comprehend. But you know the picture of the Earth that me and you were raised on in our books of, like, and it looks like the globe with, like, a slice taken out, and this planet has, like, a lava center.
Yeah, the core.
Like, the soil. Okay, that is all theory. And that is all incorrect theory. The machines and computers that we have on the Earth's crust, even these vibrations are getting back up at 1,500 all over the world. There is, like, or some kind of force that our computers and our technology can't get past. You will see very close to them a dark black circle at the top of Antarctica. This hole that the northern lights are coming out of, this hole that's at the top of our planet. This is a light source. In alchemy and in hermetics, and what it is written, that there is a light source inside this planet, and it said it is like and unlike our sun, end quote. That there's an additional light source inside this planet, and that all we know about this planet, and all me and you have been told, if you can picture a extra large Costco sized pizza, and now look at just the crust of that pizza. That is all we fucking know about this planet. And that is all that we've been told about this planet. It's a fucking crust of an extra calls the skies pizza. So what the heck is going on with the rest of this planet? Well, a pilot in 1947 flew down into that hole.
Oh my God, I know what you're talking about.
He flew out of that hole 2 weeks later. Okay, this guy was like a war hero.
He went on TV shows to talk about this too.
Admiral Byrd.
Yes.
Look, he kept a military journal log of his entire military career. He was like a war
journey
hero.
To the center of the Earth, right?
Yeah. What he recorded about what.
In Antarctica.
Took place inside that hole. They locked him away in an insane asylum, and they tried to do away with his papers.
Wow.
Well, very interesting. Years later, his son, and his son's about a best friend, interesting by the last name Emerson, published his papers. And when you read these papers and read what he recorded, what took place inside the planet, it completely 100% confirms everything that alchemy says, and that Thoth and Hermes and Mercury has been telling our species for thousands of years.
Now, this happened in Antarctica, right? That hole that he went through was in Antarctica, I believe.
But there's also another hole at the bottom of this planet. These holes exist on all planets. But for people that are not getting a visual of this, the inside of this planet is hollow. And not only is it hollow, but there's another world / realm inside this planet.
Rob, what was his name? Because I have the visuals up for everybody. I just had the Earth's core. What was the pilot's name again?
Admiral Byrd.
All right.
I believe it's B-Y-R-D.
Hopefully, his granddaughter is not the judge. A lot of talk about that. And because of every, there's no other NATO document.
NATO just did this recently. This is of this planet. Who are they to tell us that we can't go explore that part of our planet?
Admiral Byrd, a quote from Admiral Byrd, says, "There is left in the world today an area as big as the United States that's never been seen by a human being. And that's beyond the pole on the other side of the South Pole from Little America."
He goes on to record, this is going to blow people's minds, that there is 3 times the amount of ocean inside of this planet. Think about the 7 seas that we have, and think about how little we know about the 7 seas, right? We know more about outer space than we do our own planet and just the ocean. The ocean on this outer layer times more like this planet. I talk about a treaty because that is proof people can go research and they think this is all bullshit. Challenge anyone, if you follow me on social media, my Instagram is @ascended_athlete. I put this stuff on my all the time. And I put this out there. I challenge anybody, come to me to prove me one time on one of these. I'll walk away from it all. But I know because of the knowledge source from what I study from alchemy, when you understand where this knowledge comes from, there's no physical possible way I could be wrong.
There's a lot of people that immediately shut down and don't have an open mind. You know, it's like people think that they're experts.
Fear closes them off. It's fear-based. And that's what the religions teach. They teach fear. They teach shame. They teach shame by, if you have sex before you're married, you're going to go burn the lake of fire for eternity. And they teach fear, like, you have to be a god. If you act this way or that, you're going to go. And fear is, you have to understand, the control mechanism. Literally keep someone in a trance and will paralyze them. Right? Sleep paralysis. This is a form of fear. Fear can control the human being on a cellular level. Emerald tablets, how we're introduce fear to one another. We are not supposed to speak fear into each other's lives as far as human beings go. Fear is a very dark, powerful force, and we're supposed to go through existence here without zero fear.
I just watched something on the Emerald Tablets. It's crazy that you brought that up. Going back to what you were saying about the Earth's core, what exactly did you say? There's something blocking
This is all written about in the Emerald Tablets right now. I can't even believe that I'm speaking out loud. So if you knowledge, this kind of stuff right now, this exact kind of stuff, like these secret societies,
Bones.
This is all the information. But I'm discussing this stuff because I don't like little fraternities. And free is a 33 degree. There's not too many reasons walking this planet right now. Well, I have a very good friend at 32. So I question these guys about this kind of material, and to find out though, a lot of them don't know much about it. Well, if you study alchemy and hermetics, understand that where masonry came from, the elf who was all this, she was reason. And yes, as in the lost city, as that's what I mean. That's where this knowledge stems from. That is what I study. Okay, the fact that the Egypt is physical proof that Atlantis existed. And so, if Atlantis existed, we have to study that. We have to talk about it. I can tell you right now why the flood happened, and this is all written in the Emerald Tablets. So let me give a quick little backdrop about what the Emerald Tablets are. The Emerald Tablets is the oldest written manuscript that our species has to date. Scrolls of the 8,000 years old, and they're written in Sumerian. That's pretty fascinating. Well, let's just give an extra 2,000 years. We'll say the Dead Sea Scrolls are... Okay, fascinating. The Emerald Tablets, 4,000 years old. Okay. These tablets were found in the language of Atlantis. The language of Atlantis symbols. It's signs and symbols that you tell us. The tablets, there's 15 of them, and they were made through alchemy. These emerald slabs are joined together by a gold bind and gold rings in the middle. These slabs have been changed on a molecular level. That means that the atomic structure of these emerald slabs was changed through alchemy, and it made them indestructible to the elements of this earth. You could pour acid on top of these tablets, and it won't affect them.
It says Sir Isaac Newton practiced.
They're literally indestructible, and they've been made that way for a purpose. Now, where did these tablets come from? Who wrote these tablets? This is where the story starts getting a little bit heavy for people.
It's saying during the Renaissance and medieval periods? Is that correct?
Say it again?
It says the legendary Emerald Tablet is said to hold the secret of the universe. The text became the basis of Western alchemy during the Renaissance and medieval periods. Sir Isaac Newton practiced alchemy.
We could talk about the secrets of the universe right here now. What I study is hermetics from the genius deity Hermes, as said to have relations with Socrates. Hermes was said to appear in the laboratory of Tesla, Da Vinci. Wow. These are some of the men that studied the Emerald Tablets. Isaac Newton had a Latin transcript of the Emerald Tablets. So did Da Vinci. So did Pythagoras. So did Einstein. So did Galileo. You know what I'm saying? So did Vitruvius. So did Alexander the Great. So did Napoleon. So did Plato. The most brilliant, brilliant minds of our species all studied this stuff. And all the men by the name I just mentioned all studied the Emerald Tablets. So, do crazy bullshit, or all those brilliant men did something. These men were time. But they spoke about these kind of concepts today, like we spoke about today. Whenever they went out in the public, they were called drunks, and they were called demons, because it went against what the Catholic Church was doing across the globe, and it went against everything they said. So, look at who wrote the tablet. It was written by the Egyptian god Thoth. that term God very, very loosely. God is just a vocabulary word that people used back then to describe these beings. And these beings, you have to understand, they are ascended beings. They are an ascended beings. They are vibrating at such a higher frequency than us that that our species feels compelled to call them gods because we have no other word that does them justice. Well, today in 2020, in this day and age, you could similarly use the word aliens, right? These are just beings that exist. Aliens, gods, deities, whatever English, whatever vocabulary word you feel comfortable with labeling these beings, they're just beings that are ascended of us. And Thoth himself was a god, or, I'm sorry, was a king of Atlantis. And back when the flood of Atlantis happened, Thoth was directed to get all of his, quote, writings of magic and all of his literature and art and science. And he was ordered to go on his ship and fly to the land of Kem. Well, back then, ancient Egypt was called the land of Kem, K-H-E-M. When he showed up to the land of Kem, it was known as the land of hairy barbarians. We were Cro-Magnons. These were the Neanderthals that we were taught about in the history books. When he showed up there to ancient Egypt, he rose up the ancient Egyptians from cave people to literal quake cave dwellers and brought them up to pharaohs in a very, very, very short amount of time. And it says in the text, he reigned in ancient Egypt for 50,000 years. You have to understand that the timelines that we've all been told in school are all incorrect. Now, when I say that Thoth reigned for 50,000 years in ancient Egypt, I mean 50,000 years in the same physical avatar, in the same body. And in the Emerald Tablet, he talks about how he did this.
It says something about spiritual technology.
That will program ourselves to prevent the polarity from dropping out.
So this makes a lot of sense why they've been trying to suppress it from everybody, because like we were talking about with the opiate thing of money, and you know how much money goes into medications and cancers and stuff like that. Like, it really all makes so much sense.
Yeah. Well, money's the shadow. Money's the shadow card. They want you to think it's about money. They want us to think it's about money and control. Dude, it's about control. It's about what our species is capable of. If what I'm speaking is truth right now, and again, it's either truth or it's not. I'm either full of shit, and I'm completely wrong, and this whole entire show is wrong, but that also means that Einstein had to be wrong, and Isaac Newton, and Tesla, and Da Vinci, and Pythagoras.
How weird is it that when Tesla passed away, that they went through his lab and said there was nothing in there worth anything, that they got rid of it and threw it all away? And you know who was in charge of that was Donald Trump's great-grandfather.
Yes, Jonathan Trump. Yeah, Jonathan Trump.
Now
took over all of Tesla's research after he mysteriously died.
This is going to sound crazy.
4 days. You want to know what the last? You want to talk crazy? This is going to be crazy for people that are still listening.
Talk about time travel? You throw a little time travel in here?
Listen to the last, and this is all proof. What I'm about to share with you guys right now is absolute proof. You can go on government websites right now and go out the actual paper experiment. And now you have to understand they blacked out a lot of this with a black marker so you couldn't see the details, but you can still make out what our government successfully did.
I'm going to type it in right now once you tell me.
It's called the Philadelphia.
Yes.
Well, using Tesla's technology, they moved this battleship into another dimension and then brought it back to this one. Okay? This is not science fiction. This is the real world.
There's a movie on it, I believe.
This is the real world. This is the reality of our reality. Our government successfully did this. They moved this battleship into another dimension and brought it back. Okay, well, what dimension is this? What else is possible? What else are we able to do? And they influenced the vibration in such a way that it relocated these particles, which made up the ship. And it, you know what I'm saying? And then moved it enough to record time and then moved it back to this dimension. This is a government project. This is
1955, too. It's like 70 years ago.
Yeah. Yes, bro. This technology's been around. What they're not telling us is crazy, dude. When Joe Rogan has all these guests on his show that used to work at Area 51 and S4 and talks about it's all cool, it's all fascinating, but it's all just confirming what alchemy has been saying for thousands and thousands of years. You know what I'm saying? UFO, aliens, all this stuff, as crazy and as mind-blowing as these concepts are, it really explains. It's really not, I mean, it's just as fascinating, don't get me wrong, but it's actually, it actually makes more sense than it doesn't make sense. And it kind of just pushes this reality into a different perception. But for people that want to learn more about this reality, they have to study the tablets. You have to go read the Emerald Tablets. And it's written that whoever reads the tablets, you have to read them 100 times. And then when you read them 100 times, something happens to you. And I believe something happens to you on a genetic level, and I believe something happens to you on a conscious level. So I'm in the process of reading it 100 times right now. I'm also handwriting the tablets.
It says the experiment was allegedly based on an aspect of some unified field theory, a term coined by Albert Einstein to describe a class of potential theories. Such theories would aim to describe mathematically and physically the interior. Rob, why don't you have a YouTube channel talking about this? Like you and BJ? You know what a hit that would be? Of you guys discussing this stuff?
Honestly, this is the first platform I've gone out on public talking about this stuff. I guess part of me is kind of concerned about sharing this knowledge and kind of putting it out there. But then again, that's fear-based, and I don't want to operate on the fear. So I'm actually in the process of doing this. I'm about talking to some other friends that Timbo and Sugar Sean O'Malley, they asked me to come on and maybe go on and talk about this stuff. But again, I'm just when you study this stuff, it talks about how it tells you not to talk about it and how there's a reason for secrecy.
It's even saying that the people aboard that ship were subject to brainwashing after it happened.
Dude, they couldn't go tell people what that happened. They couldn't tell people what that was.
Says many suffered from mental disorders. Some rematerialized inside out, and others vanished. Like, it's so interesting.
Dude, we're talking about otherworldly shit, right? We're talking about other dimensions, so we can't even explain what all this other stuff is and why, what all these side effects are, right? The side effects are beyond us. I'm just kind of slowly getting comfortable with sharing this stuff.
Yeah.
This is the first platform where I've gone out to talk about this stuff. If you can give me a link, I'll post it, and I'll see what kind of response I get. And if it's positive and if people want more information, I guess I can go forward and I'll feel more comfortable sharing more of it. Because we really haven't even scratched the surface. I know we've talked about some pretty heavy concepts here, but we really haven't even scratched the surface.
Because you could do it in subjects, like in a timeline to even everything we talked about, you could be more in-depth about it. I find this stuff so interesting. It's some of the most searched stuff on the internet right now. There's a YouTube channel that I love on conspiracy theories with Shane Dawson. I don't know if you know who that is, but I'll put that link down below. Rob, for the people listening that are interested, where do you go to get a lot of your information? Is it a channel? Is it a books? What would be something interesting for people to go get?
People have to read this stuff, and that's the problem with society these days, that people don't have the time and the patience to read, and it's a forgotten art. And I can tell you now that these secret societies, this is one thing that they do behind these closed doors, their little meetings, is they read and they write. Reading and writing has an effect on our genes. Every time you text something with your thumbs on your phone, it's only about 10 different movements between the movement of the thumb and the type of the button. When you hand something, there's 10,000 movements. There's 10,000 like neurological connections every time you write something. So handwriting stuff is a very profound tool, and reading is a very profound tool. People just need to read. Get out there, get online, find the Emerald Tablets, read the Emerald Tablets. I also study the Kabbalion. I got like 7 books out here in 5. I just study this stuff nonstop. You can't even read this stuff. You really do have to become a student of it and absorb it. It has to become part of your life.
What's the Kabbalion? What is that?
Say it again?
What's the Kabbalion? Is that the Indian book?
The Kabbalion. It's not to get confused with the Kabbalah, but the Kabbalion is basically Hermetics. And Hermetics, it comes from a different incarnation of Thoth. Thoth was the Egyptian god. And then the Greek version of that same individual is Hermes, and that is where Hermetics come from. It comes from Hermes. Like people have heard when something's like super secret, it's called being hermetically sealed.
Do you believe in Ancient Aliens? Do you watch that show, Ancient Aliens? Because I feel like a lot of that actually does make a lot of sense.
Yeah. I watch a lot of documentaries and a lot of these conspiracy theory videos just to see what kind of information is out there and just to see how off-cue they are. Because there's a lot of stuff out there that's very off-cue. Like, one thing that kind of drives me kind of batshit is, like Rogan's brilliant. I love listening to Rogan. I watch a lot of his episodes when he has certain individuals, you know, scientists and quantum theorists and all these brilliant minds that come on. But when he talks about evolution and how he talks about, he says that we came from primates, chimpanzees, or that we used to be back in the day, we came down out of the canopies and then we ate these mushrooms and then our consciousness was able to grow and we're able to elevate from primates into human beings. My only problem is when he speaks about this, he speaks about it like it's absolute truth. He says, no, this is the history of our species. We did come from primates. This is, and I can tell you right now, that's absolutely incorrect theory. It's a fascinating theory. It's a brilliant theory. It's a theory I'll listen to and I'll hear his explanation. But the fact of the matter is it's incorrect. We are not descendants from primates. In matter of fact, it's the other way around. Primates or an offshoot of the human being.
See, I like what you're saying there because it means a lot. Don't take everything you hear firsthand. Take it with an open mind and then go out and do your own research. Read up on it and see what you take from that information. There's a lot of people that will listen to somebody and take it as fact, like you said.
Yeah, that's what's great about YouTube right now is it's really powerful for our species because it's allowing us to communicate. It's allowing us to share knowledge. And again, like for anyone listening to this, I don't talk about any of this stuff to like boost my own ego or to flex my own knowledge. I know that when a lot of people talk, and unfortunately in the sport of mixed martial arts, and a lot of coaches will talk to kind of flex their ego. So everything I share with you here today, I promise you that it came like from my heart. It came from a place of love, and it comes from a place of wanting to share this knowledge with my species, right? And so anyone listening, please know that, like, dude, this is all for a place of love. I'm not trying to boast my ego or boast my knowledge. I'm simply using this phone call right now as a platform to share this knowledge. And I hope that it's picked up by some individuals because it said that this knowledge, the Emerald Tablets for Hermetics, that if you're ready, that this knowledge will find its way to you. Some way, somehow, the universe will corner the way to where this knowledge will become part of your life and it will find its way to you. And with YouTube, it's pretty cool because it gives us a platform for us to study this kind of stuff.
Now, to end this interview, let's talk for 5 more minutes before I let you go. Because you didn't tell me what you took away from that experience you had in BJ's yard. What changed that night for you?
So a couple of weeks later, I was reading and I was studying the tablets, and it hit me that what I experienced in BJ's backyard that night is exactly what the initiates experienced when they laid down the sarcophagus in the king's chamber in the Great Pyramid. The Great Pyramid was not built as a tomb. The Great Pyramid, you can say, was like a spiritual oasis.
They never found any bodies in the pyramids.
Later on down the line, the pharaohs used them for tombs, but they were not designed to be a tomb. It was designed to be a service that certain human beings were allowed to go use. Now, these are beings that were allowed to go use the service provided for. And when I say service provided, I mean specifically laying down in the sarcophagus. And I can explain to you what happens when they do that. But these humans that were allowed to do this were known as ascended masters. Now, some men that laid down the sarcophagus were the men by the name of Napoleon or Alexander. Or even Moses.
Wow.
And even the name Jesus. Man, crazy. Crazy. There's proof of this. There's actual physical proof. The face that people talk about.
Crazy you say that because they say Moses was 500 years old, I just found out.
This is not a crazy thing. If what I'm speaking is truth, and again, it's either truth or it's not. It's either truth or it's false. If what I'm saying is truth about the whole immortality and about humans being able to prevent cell degeneration, then it starts understanding how human beings living for hundreds and hundreds of years isn't so much of a mind blowing thing. There's Tibetan monks right now that are alive. They're well over 200 years old.
What about that monk that passed away and his body is still intact for like 100 years?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right? He died meditating?
It falls under human potential, all this stuff. But the incredible thing is that these monks that are over 200 years old, they look 200 years old. They got long life beards that go down to their knees and they look 200 years old. Well, like this immortality meditation offered in the Emerald Tablets. So when we're talking about human beings living for hundreds and hundreds, this is a very real possibility. Again, this isn't science fiction. This is a real world. So when it's written that Moses was 500 years old, I 100% can confirm that that's absolute truth.
Now, I don't want to sound crazy with this. You know, there was the whole thing with Pizzagate that was, you know, pretty much proven false. There's the whole, what's the guy that just died in jail? Everyone's talking about saying that he didn't kill himself or whatever.
Oh, Epstein.
Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say these politicians, you know, they have those secret seances and stuff with young children, that they're pedophiles, this and that. I looked into a lot of stuff, and there's people that say that they try to get the blood from the children, all this stuff, and it goes back to right here in New Haven with the Skull and Bones. It's definitely something really interesting to look into that. You know, there's a lot of signs that can't be proven, but if you connect the dots from this, that, and the other thing, a lot of it starts coming together.
This is where the story starts getting darker.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely correct on the whole blood drinking thing of the Elise. There's a certain thing that they try to get specifically from this blood, and it's called adrenochrome. Adrenochrome is what they try to get from the blood specifically. And adrenochrome is harvested from these children, and they have to be under the age of 9. And what they do is they try to spike fear in these children in order to extract the potent adrenaline. And it's like an adrenaline epinephrine from their pineal gland. Again, we're talking about the pineal gland. These are literal chemicals that are secreted from human beings caused by fear. Now, when you're talking about a human being doing something so disturbing and dark as drinking the blood of another human, let alone a child, this is very dark stuff we're talking about here. And as dark as it is, the Emerald Tablets talk about where this darkness came from. Okay? And we're talking about rites being said and seances and blood being drinking. These kind of stuff is talked about in the Emerald Tablets, and it has to do with why the Great Flood happened. There was someone that's written about in the tablets known as the Dweller. And the Dweller was kind of like the planetary manager as far as making sure that these species that lived here on our planet many thousands of years ago, that they acted in order. And when the Atlanteans did this and opened up this portal to the last previous planetary cycle, this is when the darkness came through. When they open up this planetary cycle, the previous planetary cycle, if there is a hell that exists, that could be described as hell.
They're doing that right now, a matter of fact. They have a giant machine that's splitting particles or splitting atoms. It's this giant machine, and they actually say that they believe it's responsible for a lot of these Mandela effects that we see, where time is actually shifting, changing time. And
the Mandela effect is just particle. It's just particle influence. We're influencing the vibration of these particles. Now that we can split them, we can measure them. We can now teleport a particle 300 years or 300 miles up to a satellite. We're able to do the beam me up, Scotty, now with the particles. But that's kind of like a different story. As far as like where this portal came through, this is like where all this darkness and shit came from.
Okay.
And the Dweller had to shatter that portal. It says he shattered the portal, and then that's when the flood happened. He had to flood Atlantis because of what the Atlanteans did by opening up the previous planetary cycle. Now, much of this darkness was shut back through that portal, but much is still survived today. And this darkness only take material form if, quote, blood is offered, and if the rites are said, quote, end quote.
Meaning what? When you say that?
This is when we start talking about, like, demonology, all this really crazy satanic stuff. It really is. There's a war going on. Our species is at war. And we've been at war since the days of Atlantis. And we're not at war amongst ourselves. Ridiculous. I'd rather bomb each other and killing women and children who are going to war against each other over the names of religions. But in the whole meantime, there's actually war going on right under our noses. And it's not with each other. We're one race, we're the human race, we're the human species, we need to bind together. There's other dark forces that we're at war here. You know what I mean? Like,
To tie this up, I really think this is one of the reasons I love mixed martial arts, is because we're learning that somebody right here in Connecticut, somebody out in Arizona, somebody over in China, we are a lot more similar than we ever thought we were. We when we get punched in the face, it hurts just the same. We have a lot more in common than we ever thought. And I think mixed martial arts is actually opening eyes for a lot of people to see. Doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter where you're from, we really are all in the same.
That's what I love about the sport of mixed martial arts, is it's a platform to pursue human potential.
Now, Rob, let me ask you this one last thing before I let you go. What are your plans for this year when it does come to fighting?
Knowledge, man. Knowledge.
You're just going to be training?
Knowledge is the best weapon we have. And even the fact that right now that we're talking about this stuff, that maybe some listeners that have never heard the Emerald Tablets, maybe they'll go read the Emerald Tablets and maybe we'll get, you know, a little bit more knowledge spread. But that is the best way to arm ourselves as a species, is knowledge. We have to learn about this stuff, and we have to communicate it to one another. And we have to start waking each other up. And I believe that there's a slow movement of this growth, and that's what helps with podcasts and interviews and radio shows and YouTube, is it allows us human beings, it allows this species of ours to connect with one another and to communicate to one another. And there's tremendous, tremendous power with that.
This thing that you brought up before, you said you're actually writing something. Is that something you're going to publish or release?
I'm just handwriting the Emerald Tablets.
Okay.
I'm handwriting them because, I just want to have my own copy in case something ever happens. I always want to have a copy here to give to my kids and my loved ones. You know what I mean?
Did they? Because when we were talking about it, it says that there was 15 Emerald Tablets?
Yes, there's 15 tablets, but our species is only allowed the knowledge of the first 13 tablets.
So
it says the knowledge written on the last two tablets is too profound for our species right now. Our level of consciousness as a species is not ready for that level of knowledge.
To end this off, how do you sum everything that we spoke about? How do you sum this up with a nice bow tie for our listeners?
Man, if you guys go follow my social media on Instagram, I send it asking. I have it posted up under my name up there. It comes down to human potential. What are we capable of as human beings? And what these entities have came down here and told us, and what Thoth and Hermes have been trying to tell us, and in the Emerald Tablets is all written, he's saying, dude, humans, wake up. You human beings are incredibly beyond comprehension. He's saying that we are like stars wrapped in skin, that every human being is like its own solar system. It's like a central sun with a solar system rotating around it. And Hermes became so fascinated with our species that he traded in his great right in order to serve our species. So Thoth / Hermes / Mercury is kind of like our species' unsung hero. He's kind of like a superhero for our species when it comes like to delivering this knowledge. So my things about human potential, I want our species to, and everyone I know and all my loved ones and my teammates and everyone I come into contact with, I want them to just realize what they're capable of. This world has too many hurt, broken, sick people, and we need more healers. We need more love. This world needs more light, and that's where all my energy and effort comes from.
Rob, this literally is one of my favorite episodes I've ever done, and I'm really excited to look into a lot of the stuff that we discussed. I really would love for you to continue down this path and maybe have a YouTube channel. So where can everybody find you on social media? I know that you said your Instagram. You're also on Facebook, correct? Where can people give you a follow?
I need to get my Twitter up activated again. I barely use, but Instagram is my main thing right now. So again, it's ascendant_athlete. And man, I just post a lot of stuff on there. I'm just now recently getting comfortable with sharing this knowledge. So man, me and you will have a talk. We can talk every week if you want.
I would love doing something like that. That would be a lot of fun.
Man, let's do it. Let's set up another call here soon, and we'll get more information out to the people, and we'll see how well they receive it.
I love that. I'm starting podcasts with all the Ultimate Fighter vets. You know, I got one with James McSweeney. We're gonna have Rob calling in. This is I love it, man. And these are the most important conversations, I feel. So Rob, have a blessed night. Tell BJ, Jason, all those guys over there, God bless, and I'll talk to you soon, Rob.
Heck yeah, enjoy it. Nice talking to you.
All right, God bless.
All right,
thank you, man. Ciao. How about that? One of my favorite podcasts we've done here at Pure Evil MMA, and I got all these rats running around. It is the year of the rat, just to let you guys know. I was in the middle of putting this cage together, and Rob started texting me, and he was ready to do the show. And I told him yesterday, you know, the last couple times he's come on the podcast, we've talked about a lot of spiritual stuff. And then when we start talking about fighting, and I said, this time I really want to stick with, I didn't even say conspiracy theories. I said, I want to talk about just be real, just about some real life shit about, I didn't even say about the third eye or anything like that. Like me, every time me and Rob talk, it's always on a different level. And I think it's important to surround yourself with people that don't just see it black and white, that actually look into some of these things. And like me and Rob said before, don't just take it for what Joe says. Don't just take it for what Rob says or what I say. Look into it yourself. Have an open mind. Don't shut down. One of my favorite things that he was discussing here on today's show was about that flight with Admiral Byrd. I'm going to look into that now. And I think if Rob's going to be calling in every week, I think that's a good place to start. The whole talk about the Emerald, it's so crazy that he brought that up, because I was just watching something on that on YouTube, or maybe it was Ancient Aliens, but I find it so fascinating, man. And I'm not saying I believe in all of it, but I am saying my mind is open and I find it very fascinating, because when you take all of these different subjects, all these different topics, they start tying into one another. And it's crazy. Another thing I brought up earlier in the podcast was how Trump's grandfather took in all of the documents. I have rats running everywhere right now, of Tesla, saying that all of it was worthless, he had nothing of importance, and none of the documents were ever found. Now, there is a crazy video that's up on YouTube by Shane Dawson. Kendall Ray has an amazing, that's the video I'll share with you guys down below here in the description. It's going to sound crazy to you. Donald Trump, time traveler. Now, oh man, I want to talk about this with Rob and react to this. But let me give you guys a little peekaboo through the window of it. Like I was saying with Tesla, there is a book that was written in the early 1900s. Oh, there goes the recorder. There's a book that's written in the early 1900s. And in that book is a little boy named Baron Trump. How do you know that name? Oh, gee. Maybe because it's the name of Donald Trump's son, youngest son. And there's a lot of people, especially when he won the presidential election, saying, oh, look at him up there. He has Tourette's, he has Asperger's. Well, okay, this is going to sound crazy. In the story of Baron Trump, it talks about Baron Trump in New York on the fifth block or something like that. And to this day, the area that they're talking about in that book is where the Trump Towers are now. It's just so crazy. What I'm saying, I got to go back and look into it. It just makes so much sense, and it sounds so crazy, but it's so interesting. I'm going to share that link down below. Let me know what you guys think about all this. Let me know what you guys would like Rob to talk about on the next episode, because we're going to start a conspiracy show, apparently. I don't even think that's the right name for it, because it's not a conspiracy. It's more of just having an open mind, and the information that's out there, just hearing it out, have an open mind, and life is not just clocking in 9 to 5, coming home, putting on The Simpsons or Seinfeld, waking up, drinking your coffee, going out, taking medicine. And I find all this just so fascinating. Rats are fighting. All right, guys, I got to check out. My mind is going a million miles an hour right now. We got fights going on tonight. I'll get all that information up for you guys at PureLMA.com. We have some new articles up as well. So, man, I'm excited for this. Let me know what you guys think on Twitter at EvilEcho. That's EVIL_ECCO. Also at PureEvilMMA_ on Twitter and on Instagram. And for our Facebook page at PureEvilMMAZ, lowercase z. And that does it for this episode. Remember, without evil, there's no purity. White knuckles to the end. Behave yourselves.